10 o'clock, and it's time to get down to the Sunday school lesson. We're on page 23 of our notes. So on page 23, we're dealing in out of John 6 on the Great Discourse on the Bread of Life. This is one of the most important sections of the Word of God. I say that because our Lord, in this section, He opens up and He opens His own heart toward men in declaring who He is. I am the bread which came down from heaven. He told of the intimate relationship that is necessary with Him in order for man to be truly saved. It's not simply hearing, but it's eating. He likens salvation to a definite partaking of Christ, so that Christ is definitely a part and parcel of the believer's life. So this is a very important section of the Word of God. And we can understand, because of our Lord's teaching, His plain teaching on the doctrine of election, whether those who would no longer walk with Him. They said, this is a hard saying. They didn't like the idea. When He said, as you have in John 6, verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Man likes the idea to think that he can be saved any time he wants to be. That isn't the way it is. So says the Word of God. No one can get saved any time when they want to be saved. They can only be saved when the Father draws them. And when the Father draws them to Christ, it is then that they are drawn by Christ to the Father, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, we read this whole discourse last week, verses 27 to the end of the chapter, to verse 69. We're not going to go into that lengthy reading this morning, but I challenge you, read this over and over again, because this portion of the Word of God is very, very important. If Peter, you remember, our Lord gave said to His disciples, when many of them no more walked with Him. I invite you to look toward the end of the chapter, verse 65. Verse 65. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. We ought to keep that before us continuously. I'm sure that it made an impression on John. For when you turn to John's first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 19, he said, they were with us, and they were not from us, but they were not of us. Therefore, they went, I'm not quoting it right, I'm almost right, but not all the way. 1 John 2:19 of a verse that's very important. They were not from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they were not, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Not everyone who makes a profession, not everyone who talks loudly about it is the Lord's. They are the Lord's who have been drawn by the Father to the Son and by the Son to the Father. That is what He's taught in this passage. We kid ourselves many times that people who make a profession and then we can't see any life. Oh, well, they did what was necessary. They went forward at such and such a meeting. But friends, we need to read and reread John 6 on the discourse on the bread of life. And those who make profession should read this passage and ask ourselves the question, am I truly the Lord's? Have I partaken of Christ? Has my partaking of Christ changed my life? Because that change of life is so important. Well, we'll get to the lesson in a minute. Let me just say, I'm leaving tonight after the meeting for a conference in Pennsylvania, the John Bunyan Conference with David Morris and Fred Zaspel and Dr. Dunbar and John Riesinger. Good ministry this week. But I promised the Staffords that if anything happened, I'll come back. That's one of the reasons I'm driving up alone. I could have gone with others who are making the trip, but I don't want them to have to return if I do. So I'm leaving tonight. I'm going to sleep somewhere along the way in Virginia. I hope I get as far as Harrisonburg. And then in the will of the Lord, I'll hope to have lunch with my brother and his wife in Anvil tomorrow at noontime, and then on to the conference. But nevertheless, I'm leaving tonight. Tonight, our brother, Dr. Jim Gillette, is going to be with us. He's a missionary to Ireland. He's established what is known as Ireland Outreach. And if anyone knows Ireland, Ireland is a Roman Catholic country, and through their work in Ireland Outreach, the Bibles and Emmaus Bible correspondence courses go into the Roman Catholic schools, and the Word of God is taught through them in many Roman Catholic schools. I'll let Brother Gillette talk about it tonight, but it's interesting the work that they have been engaged in for the past 10 or 15 or more years, and God has abundantly blessed them. They're in this country on furlough, and his son is in, I think it's Letourneau Tech. Letourneau, that great businessman, R.G. Letourneau, whose brother-in-law was Tom Olson. I remember Tom Olson. R.G. put out a paper called Now at one time. I don't know if any of you ever got it, but Tom Olson always had a great page in that paper. And Tom was one of the finest of Bible teachers. A memory, I remember one night at Greenwood Hills Bible Conference on Talent Night, he stood up and he quoted the whole of the Song of Solomon. from memory. And he was over 70 years of age when he did that. Excellent. You just marveled at his ability in the Word. But that's good. Remember Brother Stafford. And he's not too far from entering the Lord's presence. And since we don't know when that'll be, he could remain another week. He could go today. But that's the true of all of us. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And that's why in the 90th Psalm we are told to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We number our years, don't we, Brother Sutton? His birthday's today, you know. And I had him a year short. I thought he was only 84, but he tells me now he's 85. So we number our years, but God tells us, number your days and apply your hearts to wisdom. So this before us, let's just pray together. Father, we do thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the riches of your grace. We thank you that you very definitely provided eternal salvation for whosoever will, and that those whosoever wills are drawn by thee. And that's what makes them become a whosoever will, because all of us by nature are whosoever will not. We're no different than the people of our Lord's day. We are stubborn. We want our own way. And were you not to intervene in our lives by sovereign grace, we would still be going our own way, the way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And we ask you, our God, through the gospel to intervene in lives and draw them to Christ, that he may draw them to thyself. Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we pray that through the study of thy word this morning, thy name will be exalted and glorified. And now for those who are laid aside, we think of those who had difficulties this week. We think of those who laid away loved ones. Truly, our Father, our hearts rejoice in those who've gone to be with the Lord. And we pray for Brother Stafford, and we pray that his crossing of the Jordan will be made easy for him as he nears the river. We just commend him to you. And we pray for Janie Smith as she's there in the rest home. Uncle Andy. And we think of Oscar O'Hare, who's there with his sister. We just commend them all to thee. And then there are others on the prayer list who are laid aside with malignancy, some of heart conditions and other problems. Lord, we ask in a special way for thy people that you would abundantly bless in accordance with your will. Thank you for supplying our every need according to the riches of your grace and glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're down as far as number 3 on our paper, page 23, and 4 in parenthesis under 3. When you consider what our Lord is saying in John chapter 6, he not only declares the necessity for being drawn by the Father, but he also gives us the necessity for witnessing, how important it is that we tell the gospel. For God uses us, the Father uses us, to tell the gospel that he's used to draw them to the person of Christ. And Christ becomes the object because he is the Savior. And our Lord gave a very patient answer, if you notice 3 in parenthesis, in verse 44. The only reason, friends, that we ever came to Christ was we were drawn by the Father. And that's the 3rd stanza, one of my favorite hymns. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Here we see in that statement of the Lord, no man can come. Now, we need to emphasize the word can. That shows man's total inability. The sinner is unable to do anything spiritually. No man can come. It doesn't say no man will come. It doesn't say that. It says no man can come. He doesn't have the ability because he's dead in trespasses and sin. So this is the meaning of human sin. And our Lord was never surprised when they didn't come. Did you ever notice that? He was never surprised when they didn't come. no one does come unless they are drawn. And the fact that I'm drawn, by the way, it teaches me what we have under A, that God wants me more than I wanted him. Isn't that great? God is more interested in me than I ever was in him. And I tell you, when I think that I am wanted by God the Father, the God of heaven, and that the God of heaven is so interested in me, that is tremendous joy that it gives to the child of God. You see, the scripture says in Romans 3 and verse 9, there is none that seeketh after God. He sought me. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know the context of that verse, don't you? You know that verse is often quoted. The context of that verse is what makes that verse real. It's in Luke 19 and verse 10. Now, you know what the first 9 verses deal with in Luke 19. It deals, hey, you got it. It deals with a man who was up in a tree, Zacchaeus. And, you know, that story of Zacchaeus up in the tree, he was a little fellow, but he wanted to see the Lord. And our Lord knew exactly where he was when he got under the tree. He just said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to eat with you today. That's what he said. And immediately, before we had that verse, for the Son of Man, that little word for is a conjunction. And it teaches us that it's linked. Our Lord's statement is linked with the previous verse. You see, and the previous verse says, for today is salvation come to his house, for he is a son of Abraham. And to be a son of Abraham, according to Hebrews chapter 2, means that that he is one of God's chosen people. The expressions in that text all go together. I did not seek the Lord. He sought me. Notice it is the Father who gives understanding. It is the Father who opens hearts. It is the Father who draws. Now, we get to verse 45 of John 6. Here we see the importance of witnessing. The importance of witnessing to our children. In verse 45, it says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Everyone, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. In other words, you and I have an inkling here that should thrill our hearts. We have the privilege of teaching our children of the Father. And everyone that learns of the Father, the Lord Jesus said, comes to me. Now, we teach our children of the Father in a lot of ways. We teach our children of the Father through the reading of Scripture. I think we teach our children of the Father through daily devotions. In our home, we use various methods of having daily devotions. We did not simply use one method. We had a lot of fun in having daily devotions, teaching the children of the Father. And then, of course, we teach not only by opening the Scriptures to the children, but we teach our children of the Father by praying before the children. Who do we pray to? Do our children hear us? Pray. We teach the children of the Father by how we act as believers. In other words, one of the problems that I see today is that our children are given a bad example many times. The Lord's Supper, which to me is the most blessed hour of the week, our children do not see their parents attending. It isn't that important to the parents. And don't expect the children to attend. And I see the Lord's Supper coming to a close in a number of years because the parents like something else better than the things of God. And just to be occupied for that time with the Lord, to be occupied with Him, to learn of Him. And beloved, you can't live somebody else's life. I learned that a long time ago. But I believe that we need to keep this in mind. Everyone, therefore, that hath learned of my Father, cometh unto me. All to teach our children of the Father. What a blessing. But now that brings us to number 5 in parenthesis. The fathers ate physical bread in the wilderness and they died. That's what follows, you see, in our text in verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of the Father. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate physical bread. The physical bread which God gave as a miracle from heaven day by day. Your fathers did eat that. But I am, in verse 50 he says, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Oh, what a blessing that is, that a man may eat thereof and not die. In other words, our Lord is likening trusting Christ to eating and becoming a definite partaker of Christ and Christ becoming a definite partaker with us. You see, you have the truth and the converse truth. If any man be in Christ. We are in Christ. But then we have the converse truth. Christ is in us. They go together. In other words, 6 in parenthesis, verses 53 to 59, spiritual life is likened to eating and drinking. What you eat and what you drink becomes a part of you. And when we feast on Christ, the things of Christ, when we dwell in the Word of God, and when we partake of Him, well, notice A through D there under 6. What our Lord is saying, you need me to live forever. No man will ever be in glory apart from Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is a big argument today among theologians in regards to those who have never heard. It's what is known as inclusivism. In fact, a preacher asked me about that very thing yesterday morning in a restaurant. He said, I have a question for you. Are the heathen really lost? Yes, the heathen are lost. But I tell you, I qualified my answer by saying this. While the heathen are lost, the Word of God teaches that we're going to be judged by the amount of light that we have received. In America, there's a lot more light than in certain places in the world. And the light that people have in America, in multitudes of ways, is going to condemn them. That's what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 11. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have remained until this day. But he said, but I say unto you, it's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And then he turned and he said, and thou, Capernaum. Who is Capernaum? Capernaum was a city where our Lord lived. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. You see, it's a dangerous thing to know the Lord. I want to say that again. It's a dangerous thing to know the Lord. Did you ever invite somebody to the meeting and say, you ought to come to Graham Bible Fellowship? We gather around the Lord every Sunday morning in the breaking of bread. So the Capernaum. You ought to be in our church. Where are we meet with the Lord? Well, the Lord meets with us. I tell you, that means something. Our Lord Jesus did his most mighty works in Capernaum. And he said they were exalted to heaven. Why? They had his presence there. They saw his works. And he told them, if you had done these works, if these works had been done in Sodom, it would remain until this day. And he said, it's going to be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Beloved, this matter of the salvation of the soul is not a matter of playing games. It's a real thing. And you know, I've been going to jail ever since I'm a teenager to preach the gospel. And I've talked one-on-one with many prisoners. And it's amazing, a prisoner in jail, oh, I have a godly mother. Just like Capernaum. Exalted to heaven. Oh, I have an aunt. Oh, if you would have known my Aunt Lizzie. Or I had an uncle who was a preacher. It's an amazing thing. Exalted to heaven. Godly examples. But going their own way. We need to consider this. Our Lord said you've got to eat me to live forever. You can't come on the coattails of your mother. You can't come on the coattails of your aunt and your uncle. You come by me. You have me. Now, notice B. You must eat me to live spiritually, just as you must eat to live physically. This is a problem with Brother Stafford. He can't eat anymore. He's not eating. And he hasn't been eating for the last couple weeks. It's just a spoonful or two at a time. He said it just won't go down. Now, you got to eat to live physically. And friends, you gotta eat to live spiritually. You gotta eat, feast on Christ. In other words, in verse 51, he says, I am available because of my work on the cross. Notice verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And he gave his life at the place called Calvary. He was saying, this is available because of my work on the cross. That's what he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But notice, but in verse 52, they are still questioning on the basis of the natural. See how man acts and reacts? The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? There everything was on the basis of the natural, not the basis of the spiritual. Now watch. Their fathers ate natural food in the wilderness. They died naturally. And all they can think about is that which is natural. And they credited Moses for giving them that bread, which God gave them every day. Our Lord said to them, look, Moses didn't give you that bread. My Father gave you that bread. The one that you can't see gave you that bread. It wasn't Moses. He was trying to draw their hearts away from that which was natural to that which is spiritual. Then our Lord said, I am the true bread. I am the Father's Son. That was the argument in John chapter 5. He made himself equal with God, so they wanted to kill him. They rejected him. And he's telling them again in another way, I am the true bread which came down from heaven. So having said all these things, we come to the parting of some disciples in verse 60. Verse 60 is an important verse. Many therefore his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? This is difficult. Who can hear it? Did you ever hear that? I don't like that preacher. He says these things that I don't like to hear. Our Lord said many things that they didn't like to hear. See, faithfulness to the Word of God is what is important. And there comes a parting of the company. Notice verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Are you offended by what I'm saying? But then he turns right around and he tells them who he was. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What is he telling them? He's telling them, I came from the Father. In the discourse on the bread of life, they thought they knew his Father. They said, isn't this the son of Joseph? No, he's not the son of Joseph. He's the son of God. He's telling them in this that he came down from heaven. And verse 63, he says, it is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Don't overlook that verse. For this reason, the scripture says in Hebrews 4, verse 12, concerning us, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word that I speak unto you is spirit, it is life. It is to be quickened by the word of God. That's why I like First Thessalonians chapter 2:13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, that when ye received the word which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God effectually works in those who believe. It effectually produces a new life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's why when you take that passage in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit. You see, and you take the parallel passage in the epistle to the Colossians. We read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, the spirit-filled man is the man who is filled with the word of God. It is the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. But now notice A under 1 in parenthesis there. Why? Many parted company. Why? It was a hard saying. In other words, what our Lord said did not satisfy their natural desires. B, our Lord was truthful, but not popular. We have an idea today that the activity of Hollywood should be in the church. Hollywood has their ratings. And to be popular is important. Beloved, our Lord did not trifle with the souls of men. He didn't trifle with the souls of men. So when you get to verse 65, this is why I said, you cannot come unless it is given to me of my Father. But verse 64 is very important. John 6:64, where it says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were which believed not, and who should betray him. In other words, our Lord is speaking definitely of Judas Iscariot, and he's speaking of the need for Judas to repent. But he didn't. He knew that Judas was there in the group, that he was a leader in the group, but he had never been born of God. There's a preacher in our area in Pennsylvania who had a tape, and they were taking this tape around to get people to listen to it. And the name of the title of the sermon was Judas Iscariot, Once Saved, Forever Lost. And of course, I objected to it. Judas Iscariot was never saved. That's what the scripture says. And this one man who had to live with me like my wife does, you would learn some things about me. One of the things is I don't like to go into stores. I think it's a waste of time I hate to go shopping. So we were in the city of Lebanon on a Friday night, shopping night. Phyllis was in the largest department store there was, and I was standing out in the front of the store, just leaning against the plate glass window, waiting. And here this man came by who was taking this tape from one house to another, getting people to listen to it, to prove that a person can be lost after they're saved. And I was there against the plate glass, and he had a big, thick Bible under his arm. And he just kept... And I just egged him on a little bit as he was getting really going at me. I said, read John 6:64. So he opened his Bible and he read it. Then there was a little crowd gathering, which was all right. So when he read it, I said, now tell me. And as soon as he read it, he closed the book, that quick. Just closed the book. I said, now tell me what you read. He couldn't do it. I said, read it again. So he opened his Bible and he read it again, and he closed it right away. I said, now tell me what you read. And he didn't do it. I said, you gotta read it again. And he read it again. I said, now tell me what you read. Well, he admitted that Judas, the scripture says, was never saved. It doesn't deny the security of the believer. It just upholds the fact that the person who just professes has never been saved unless he has really partaken of Christ. And he came across with that truth. I said, all right, now, it's one thing to admit it here in front of me on this Friday night. Are you willing to take that stand in church Sunday morning? That's what the Word of God teaches. It's one thing to say you agree with the Scriptures to me, but do you agree when you get with other people who don't agree with you? You can't be like a chameleon believing this over here and believing something else over here. What the Word of God teaches, and it means what it says. Our Lord was faithful. He was not popular, but he was faithful. Now, notice the position of the true disciple on the bottom of the page. Verse 67. Our Lord looked at his own and he said, will you also go away? The answer of Peter is the answer that's in the heart of everyone who's ever been to the cross. Anyone who's ever understood the purpose for which Christ died, for which Christ came, has the same answer that Peter said. To whom can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. It isn't a matter of another church. It's a matter of a person. It isn't a matter of another group. It's a matter of a person, the person of Jesus Christ. To whom can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. There is no salvation anywhere else. Acts 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, there's a conclusion at the bottom of the page. Are you a taster or are you an eater? Hebrews chapter 6 is one of the greatest warning chapters in the whole of the Bible. It speaks of those who had tasted the good word of God. It speaks of those who had been tasters of many things concerning our Lord. But it also speaks of them drawing back to perdition. So the question is, are you a taster or are you an eater? Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And these verses are so important. John 6 is a portion that needs to be studied by every diligent child of God. You know, you've often heard, if you're like me, you've heard that the Gospel of John is a book that everybody should study. It's simple. Let me say this. There's nothing simple about the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is the most profound gospel you can read and you can study. It's in John's gospel that people no longer walk with Christ. They draw back. Well, in the will of the Lord, we'll take up chapter 7 next week. And I'm looking forward to chapter 7 and the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of thy beloved Son, we thank you that those of us who have heard, have believed, we've done more than tasted, we've eaten. And we're partakers of him who gave himself for us, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. O God, our Father, manifest thy love and thy grace toward each one of us, that thy name will be glorified through our bodies for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.